Ladies and gentlemen, welcome inside After Hours Sports. My name is Brandon Rosenthal, and alongside me, as always, is Eric Garcia and Social Mike. Gentlemen, it is now month 9 of quarantine. We are deep in Los Angeles, deep in the crap that is Los Angeles. How you guys doing?
Amazing, amazing as you could be.
I'm good.
Birth 2020.
Eric's like, amazing, and Mike is good. COVID free, so yes, we're all good so far. Hopefully we can go down as the three podcast hosts who didn't get COVID in 2020.
You just jinxed the
yeah, we're done, we're all done for. We got a lot on the slate today. We're not going to really go into the NFL like we have traditionally in the last few episodes. We are going to talk about it, though. We're going to save it for later. It's really going to be focused on the Ravens and how stupid they are. But we're really going to start with the Lakers and a few NBA transactions, but really the Lakers, because they have retooled, reloaded, and while staying the same, if that's possible. You know what I'm saying? So let's get right into it. You know, we had all these mini transactions right before. The Montrezl Harrell signing was great. I saw that we waived Jordan Bell. Well, tough break. The Markieff Morris re-signing, Marc Gasol, all that good stuff. We're looking solid for the future, at least for the next year.
Yes.
Then came the big news. The big mega news.
Jared Dudley's coming back.
Was Dudley, and then we're just like, okay, that's bring it home, titles 2.0.
Remember, he said he's part of the big three. He said the big three is AD, LeBron, and Dudley.
Well, I mean, and you know, before we get to the big news, Dudley is important because he provides a lot of like locker room presence, a lot of coach on the. I was going to say on the floor, but on the bench, you know, like you know. Everybody has at your job. Sometimes if your manager tells you something, your boss, you're just like, whatever. But if your coworker tells you something, you're like, well, that's a good idea. You know? So I think Dudley has value there. You can argue that, is that worth an NBA contract? I don't know.
Yes.
Probably. Yeah, he's played in the league for 12 years and maybe more. And, you know, he is way more valuable than that. I'm putting it very low here, but the big news, and we all agree there, so that's great. The big news was kind of surprising because we were expecting the AD news first was a LeBron James extension. And that is probably even more important than the AD extension because the AD extension doesn't even happen without the 2-year LeBron extension.
LeBron, yeah.
And it's not like people are saying like, oh, it's the Kobe extension. It's like, well, Kobe was coming off an Achilles tear. Mm-hmm. LeBron's coming off a title. And the situations are different, not the players, the situations. You know?
No, and look, wait.
Well, and the player's health, obviously, but
of course, but another, like you said, the situation, right? Because of course, the health is like a no shit, right? Like Kobe's health compared to what LeBron's health at that point was way different. But another,
it was
thing,
a
like,
thank you contract for the Mamba.
Exactly, it's same like it is for LeBron. But
for LeBron, yeah.
Thank you for the title, dog.
The huge difference, exactly what you're saying, is not only is it coming off a title, it's Kobe. We were re-signing him with a thank you contract, hoping you can land someone else to have a bit of a chance. Not only are you paying LeBron because he won one just this very year, but you already fucking have the guy. I mean, I know he wasn't signed just yet, right, because LeBron went first. But what I mean is you already know the writing's in the wall. So you basically, not only are you re-signing this guy, but you got already the, you're not trying to convince motherfuckers. You already convinced the motherfuckers. So now everybody else, it's just ready to come.
And it helps when that same guy, his best friend, is the agent for the guy you're also trying to re-sign. So, I mean, it really, really helps. Clutch coming through clutch. Because that it was 2 years,
85.
So it wasn't like, you know, because he could have continued to play that one-to-one game and then be the first player to make $50 million in it. But clearly he's over that because I think – a couple of years ago, that was his mindset. Like, I want to be the highest player in the league, regardless, no matter what. But I think it's kind of dwindled down to, I'm looking to chase Mike. I'm looking to get 6. I'm looking to get 5. I need to catch Kobe at least to be for these Laker fans to even begin to respect me. He's got the respect on this podcast, but there's a lot of Laker fans who are just like, I let's not talk about them because they're just
we're a tough fan base. We're a tough fan, but look, we said, hey, I said even for that tough fan base,
I guess you're being nicer than I am.
Yeah, well, no, but we said it though, Brandon. Even for that tough fan base, everybody will, those motherfuckers will all shut the fuck up. If one
when
thing
you win a title, when
you
win a
you title, just, we just won one. We
No. But I told you guys,
yeah, no, I know what you mean.
The recruiting was easy. When I remember what we always said, the recruiting is easy. You win two championships and you put us one over the Celtics.
Celtics, oh yeah.
If you put us over the Celtics, these Laker fans have to shut the fuck up.
Forever.
Just shut the fuck up. Like, I mean, there's nothing you can do at that point. Like, to me, like I said, if you're in our lifetime, we were 9-5. We were down 5 championships to the fucking Celtics when we were kids. That's what we knew. It almost seemed like they're way ahead. Like, that's not going to happen. Kobe is the guy that gave us the, oh my God. We can catch these assholes. That was why his greatness was so dope. Because remember, we always, in fact, don't get it twisted. It's us competing with those motherfuckers. That's what it is.
From the very beginning, yep.
From the very beginning, that's all it is. So LeBron tying it, it's a game change. It's a fucking, what I tell you for my son, what I, with that whole moment telling him, never again will those fuckers get to tell us they have more. And then again, when LeBron solidifies it by actually putting us over, it's a wrap, bro.
Yeah, I was going to just say it's a wrap.
And, you know, and it's how quick those trends change, right, in the league. The Celtics are trending up. Oh, my God, we have Tatum. He's 19. Did we, you know, he's 19? And now it's like we have the best 26-year-old in the league. He's in his prime. We also have a 27-year-old point guard who is most likely going to resign. And things are all of a sudden like you can easily click that refresh button and things are looking pretty good again. So I'm very happy with that, with what the Lakers did. And not only that, you know, the Lakers really, when they traded for Alphonso McKinney, no, I'm just kidding. it was, you know, the LeBron opting out of not being paid $50 million was huge. Understanding that, you know, he knows that he needs AD to win. And then AD the day later, or was it the same day? Maybe it was the same day or a day later, but AD's like 5 years, 100,
pretty much 190.
Yeah, 189.9. So 5 years, 190. And it goes up increment at, you know, so it's backloaded. So he's going to get
33 and it ends up at 45 money. Or something.
Yeah. It's just pure flex, flexibility for the Lakers, knowing that like, all right, well, as LeBron's on the team, I'll get paid less. As he ages, I'll get paid more. And then he looks like we're going to lock him down for a very long time. And most likely we'll re-sign him with like 2 years remaining on his deal after LeBron. You know, I think we're going to take care of him and hopefully we can get a couple more championships out of this deal.
He's going to decide, right? Well, he's going to decide what he's going to do at that point. Is he going to like end it here? Right. Or he, like you said, if the realistic, the Bronny James thing might be a realistic thing. It's not that because the Lakers might not have control, of course, or no one will. But the option would be like whoever drafts my son, they would gladly take me. I'm guaranteeing that. Like, you know what I mean? LeBron gets to go where he wants to go. So if you draft Bronny, he calls you and says, I guess I'm coming too. And you're like, fuck it. Of course.
We're good on the stretch for LeBron.
Yeah. So you know, you want to keep those options. But like you said, well, what the fuck's going to happen if LeBron does bounce in 3 years? Well, what happens is we're left with a 30-year-old. Fucking AD,
yeah,
in his prime, and
Schroeder,
Schroeder. But look, it's
and whatever these guys, whatever Horton Tucker becomes, whatever Kuzma becomes, like we still don't know. And like,
well, we don't know. But we don't know.
I think Lonzo's gonna return.
I think a 30-year-old or 28. Just the scary part to me is AD isn't even there yet. That guy still has a little bit more where he's going to have that 3-year run that we've seen in all these great guys that are just like stupid nasty with it. You know what I mean? Where he's already pretty much there. Like we saw when he took it with the playoffs, that when he took that next level where it was like, you're just, no one could see me. There was moments where he was clearly the baddest man on the fucking court. Right. So I feel like AD more and more is going to get there, bro. And if he has his own team, and you know, whatever that case is, the Lakers could be in far worse position.
I mean, this dude is gonna be.
Even if no one else is on the team, if we just have a 30-year-old AD and we say what's good, look, knock on wood, health is huge.
Oh my god! So yo, at the end of his contract, he's gonna be 31 years old.
That's what I'm
only
saying,
31 years old.
He's clearly signing another 5-year contract.
He's coming off or whatever, whatever the CBA match. Is. Exactly, Mike. Like, look, he's coming off of a year. He's going to make $43 million. This guy is going to sign a contract where he's going to get a starting salary in 2025, like 48.
45, no.
I'm thinking like more because you're thinking, you know, that's just what the CBA is now. And I mean, not CBA, I'm sorry, what the, how much of the salary cap? Salary cap's going to go up, dude.
Right.
You know, once COVID is kind of like away and fans are back and, you know, and fans are going to come back heavy. I mean, they're going to pack arenas, dude. I really feel that once they give the green light, you know, we know America. So,
us here in LA, like,
you're
not going to be able to. Dodgers and Lakers games are not going to have any capacity
at all. They're not going to have any issues, and they don't have any issues regardless. Dodger fans consistently packed that stadium, so.
They're consistently number one in the MLB.
Yeah, also. I mean, even when they sucked, like when Frank McCourt owned that team, and you know, like he was the biggest loser there was. Like, there's still fans there, you know. So,
bro, I know being homers, but there's just nothing more beautiful than a fucking Sunday.
Unbelievable! It's a baseball game in
Dodger Stadium.
One of the best places to go watch a ball game. If you're listening to this podcast, you've never been to Dodger Stadium, you've never been to Los Angeles. Whenever we're out of this purple zone, whatever the fuck we're in. Come over, visit, go to Dodger Stadium. It's beautiful. It is one of the it's gorgeous.
If we don't enter the fucking maroon zone pretty in the next
whatever couple. That is. Maybe the black zone. You know, maybe it's the twilight. Maybe the twilight zone's next. I don't know.
Motherfuckers ain't masking up.
You know what I'm saying? But for now, we know you can go, but you will have to see it from the outside. So I wanted to talk about like the rotations. And I wanted to briefly mention, like, what do you think the rotations are going to be? Do you, you know, so I'll pitch them to you. And then Mike and Eric, you guys can tell me what you guys think. If you think the Lakers are going to take this route.
All right. I'll say, my bad. You could take it from here, but I'll say this just real quick, because that might be the main thing. How do you guys feel? Not necessarily whether he starts or not. That's not what we're going to go into, because that's what we're going to talk about when Brandon starts giving us the lineups. But how do you guys feel? Big deal, no deal. What the fuck's the deal with the whole Schroeder saying he's trying to start, basically. Like, yo, that coming off the bench shit, been there, done that move. That's not – I'm coming here for Holmes.
That's not to get down, yeah.
How did you take it?
How do you feel about it? I take it as he's starting. I think he's going to be the starter.
You're taking that they're going to give him what he wants?
I think that's why they traded for him. I think Danny Green was the starter, and we're trading Danny Green for a starter. So I think
– No, but you don't think KCP will start?
I think he will start. I think Dennis starting at the. I think it's going to be
one him, point and then a two.
Him, KCP, LeBron, AD, and Marc Gasol. That's what I think is a starting lineup. That's a starting lineup. That is not the crunch time lineup. But I do feel that's a starting lineup. And I feel the crunch time lineup is going to be Trez replacing Gasol, and then probably Wes Matthews or whoever the hot shooter is. I think so. It's either Trez or Kuzma, right? And then you're for sure. I think Schroeder's going to be in there. And then I think it's either going to be Wes, Kuz, or because you can play Kuz at that too sometimes if he's shooting well.
Keith?
You know, Keith is not going to play crunch time. I feel.
Well, if he's shooting the lights out, he definitely will get some playing time.
Yeah, no, he's going to get PT. I mean, the rotation is going to be like. And then on the bench, and I didn't even finish, right? The bench is going to be, you know, Keith, Caruso, Wes Matthews,
Trez,
and that's kind of it. And maybe some Kuz? I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe some Horton Tucker. Maybe some – who else do we have on the squad?
Caruso?
I said Caruso. I think we have like nine, like really nine, and then in the playoffs we'll probably have like nine, you know, and maybe Gasol will play like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. I'm not expecting huge things out of Mark, but I'm expecting him to start, and you know, in the playoffs especially, like when will we have to play Jokic and the Clippers who are going to make it ugly. We want to have like a guy that's going to set big ass screens. Hell yeah, you know, like Mark is a smart dude. He knows what's up.
This team. Look, only we said it. You know, these lineups. We all have our favorites. We all have our obvious right. Expecting things. I saw from Kuzma as far as on the defensive end of the playoffs was dope as shit. So
we the effort. We've talked about that for years, right? Like his effort is great.
I'm really like, obviously there's always those X factors, right? The people that you add that you're like, that's not who we're talking about. That. But I'm really, 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 really excited to see more of Markieff when it's a full season kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think, he was a fucking, to me, I love what we got from him, like beyond. I mean, he's the
buyout dude. So he's just easy money, man.
But like the way he played, the way he performed, what you want. I mean, in all aspects of it felt like if we even in a scrum, it's like, I'm glad he's on our team kind of situation. Like always, like he just seems like the kind of dog a team like LeBron and AD, because AD and LeBron bring it game wise.
Bro, if we have a lineup of LeBron, Keith and Gasol, who's going to fuck with us inside?
Exactly. And like you said, you could even put Kuzma the two or do something stupid if you want to get super huge on foos. So this team, back to what we kept saying last season, I'm fully confident in Vogel. So I know he's going to fuck around with these lineups however he needs to. Look, he found exactly what we needed last season to get it done. And I feel like he's got even more to work with this year, more time to work with, a better situation than last year. Fully confident in what we got with Vogel. And I think I'm not saying LeBron is going to take over, but I'm saying I think the team's going to be able to – the offensive part of the game is going to be easily there. So Vogel is definitely going to be that coach that you need to remind these guys we're playing defense though. Remember, we're here to play defense because the Lakers' points off of defense last season was stupid good.
Our defense is going to be so dope. Like, it's just going to be so dope, dude.
Yeah. And that, you guys know, whether it's football, whether it's baseball, basketball, I like defense. I like 1-0 games in baseball. I like a pitcher's duel. I love, you know what I mean? I like a 6-3 game in football. That cat.
You like the 63-59 Eastern Conference games in the
90s? I'm that cat, man. So, if you're going to give me great defense and following that up with explosive offense coming off that great defense, shit, you're now spoiling me. You know what I'm saying? So, like you said, that's what I'm excited with Markieff, with guys like Kuzma, fucking, you said Harrell, you said, look, I don't know how many times this has happened before, but we literally went and grabbed the sixth man of the year and the runner-up. Like, but, you know, if it wasn't him, it was going to be the other guy. And both guys are on the squad. And those guys you're adding to, like I said, the Markieffs of the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we heard the clips.
Exactly. To the already nasty dudes, right? So that's what I mean. The fluidity offensively is going to be there. You're going to have the dogs that you need. Because certain games, you know, the game flow is game flow, right? Certain teams, it's going to be more brawl. You know what I mean? Where these guys are just beating their ass down there. Let's go in there and fuck them up. In other games, it's going to be like AD just get pretty out there and, you know what I mean, and just completely finesse the game. And it's awesome because, like you said, crunch time, AD, you're moving to the five. It's just what it is.
And we might not even play Harrell. You know, it might just be AD, yeah. LeBron. Let me ask Mike this. Mike, who is the X factor for the squad? And don't be like LeBron.
No, I think it's going to sound a little weird, but for me, KCP.
Okay.
KCP.
This is the X factor, right? We want a player that we don't really think about.
Right, right. So you know, I know like when we first got KCP, he was getting, you know, crazy money and we were like, what the fuck? He hasn't earned it. But this time around, he earned it, to me at least. Yeah. And yeah. I think like he's going to come through again for us. He came through for us in the playoffs. He made hit some big shots. I think he'll continue to do that with the help that we were able to get. I think it's going to make it maybe not easier, but he'll be able to get more opportunities, you know, to continue to hit you know, clutch shots for us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, play a key role.
Was that a subtle nod to Clutch?
Yeah, as well. Because, you know, he's part of the crew. He's part of the crew.
Look, and, he's the originator for the Lakers, at least, right? Like,
right.
LeBron. That's what I'm saying. Like, when he was getting crazy
money.
Because Magic and Rob showed KCP love, and they're like, hey, Rich Paul, let me shine your shoes and let LeBron know that we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are.
And then, hey, let's also not forget, because everybody gets the props and they deserve the props. The LeBrons, the ADs, the Clutch Sports, the, you know, Paul. But, bro, Bobby Pelanka.
Oh, I thought you were going to shout out Magic. Exactly. I was about to be like, I was going to kick you out of this podcast.
Here. Yeah, no, Bobby P, homie.
Robbie Pelanka, man. Shout out to you, Rob. Good shit, dog.
Exactly. He should be executive of the year already.
He should have been reigning executive year.
The five-year contract for AD makes him executive for the next five.
How about the two-year extension for LeBron? David Griffin couldn't get that from him forever, and LeBron locked in for three more. He's like, yeah, whatever, dude. Like,
you know what it was, Brendan? He got a title with the Lakers.
That's it.
And then, you know, it's like he said, it's different. There's a different.
It's worth at least one and a half, right? It's not the same. It isn't.
Yeah, it's different to win a title as a Laker than it is to win it anywhere else.
Yep, and that's why I like when
Kobe. I mean, unless it's unless it's the rivals that we were chasing.
Yeah, exactly. Unless it's those evil bastards.
You know, and it's like it doesn't even seem like Boston means as much, right? Because we can even just go championships based off the 80s or the 70s, you know, when the three-point line existed or where, you know, where more black players were allowed in the league or played in the league. You're like, it changes, you know, the league changes because you allow everyone to play and then all of a sudden, like, things change. You know,
like, let's just start counting championships after Mark Wahlberg stopped supposedly being a piece of shit and got his life together and he stopped being that asshole.
Oh, Mark, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, it's one to, like, six. And if you just go based after 1990, like, if you're going to go relevance, because it's already 2020, man. It's already 2020. It's been 30 years. And, like, I'm 35 years old. I was born in 1985. So we just go based on my lifetime. You know, in the 90s, when I remember, like, I'm not going to be like I claimed the championships for the Laker franchise, but it's not like I was a four-year-old really remembering everything I was doing at 4 years old. I remember the 2000 championship, like, from, like, I was a part of that. That's what I feel like as a fan, you know, like, you know, you enter a fan base and then you start remembering stuff. So if you just based off that, 6-1. Pretty good advantage to me. And there's it you're talking about, right? Kobe gave you those five, LeBron gave you that one, and it's like
it's about to get three real quick.
I think at least one more is in the books. And I know Boston's a good team. I know that there are good teams out there. The Lakers look really, really good. And as long as everybody stays healthy, because we are relying on an older Marc Gasol, we are relying on an older LeBron James, but I do feel like the Schroeder acquisition. Maybe LeBron plays like 60, you know, there's 74 games. Maybe he plays 50 games this year. Would surprise me.
Yes. Whatever the fuck it takes, obviously. But look,
we know what the end game is. We know what the Avengers end game is.
Yeah. But I do think that, look, it's that this is when you get the young, that's why you pair a LeBron with an AD, right? Like, look, obviously you want AD to stay healthy, but bro, it's on you a lot of nights. It's going to be on him a lot of the time. The regular season's ADs, straight up. I think
LeBron, this is his MVP. Go,
get the MVP, do all that crazy shit, average all the points in the world, get all the rebounds, get all the shit that needs to happen.
That's rebounds. Eating your rebound off.
Yeah. No, but you know, whatever you
need. But I know.
And I got you in the playoffs. And
I'll be here for three-point shooting, for your dimes. I'm going to push the fast break, but if my knee hurts a little bit.
Hey, and of course, I'm also here to remind motherfuckers what time it is too. Every once in a while, fools want to get cute, so I have to fucking slam some nasty shit.
Yo.
And let everybody know I still got this. And if you want to do this, we can do this anytime.
What if Labrizzi wins Defensive Player of the Year, getting like two blocks, like all defense? Look, I don't know. We'll see. I think LeBron wants to get that fifth for sure.
Look, I really think, you know how we were talking about, I don't know if this was pre or before, but we were talking about certain guys need certain kind of different kind of motivation, right? And I think LeBron is not only am I thinking it like as far as because life's going to be easier on him, but LeBron's going to be advocating for AD because AD should have. What the fuck? Why wasn't AD defensive player? Or you know, or like
crazy. Yeah,
this is all stupidity, right? So to me, I think LeBron is going to be like, I know you say LeBron has a chance, which he does. But I think the Lakers have an overall chance to be the best defensive team in the league for sure. So I think those kind of things on a team that has a very high seeding and a very good season is if you, you know, where AD could really have a chance to clean house. So just take them all, you know, all the awards. Let me grab them right quick.
Damn, that would be crazy.
And I really do
like think, the NBA Triple Crown.
Yeah, like straight up. Like I think I really think it because the skill is flat out there. Of course, we keep mentioning it because it's part of the equation, but it helped, if we don't help the side, he's right there, man. He's right there to do some stupid, nasty he's stuff. He's
crazy good.
We were talking about the care. I was hearing Max Kellerman on ESPN earlier while I was in my lunch break, and he was talking about the whole, like, the benefit to LeBron, right? LeBron had to get his other one, right? So he had that carrot. Obviously, he wants to repeat. He said he's trying to get on that Lakers Mount Rushmore, right? Where we know from the jump, Magic and Kobe there. There's only two more spots, bro. Because Kobe and Magic are permanent, stamped. They're on that four, Mount Rushmore, right? So you're trying
to. I think Kareem is up there too. But I think there's room for one if we're doing four.
It may be, but I think Wes is there. You know what I mean? So
no, Kareem is there.
Kareem won 5 titles, dog. Like that fool was there. Like that is ridiculous.
But a lot of people think those were Magic's titles, dog. You know?
Yeah, the leading scorer in NBA history had nothing to do with those titles.
Yeah. But
nothing at all.
But look, LeBron's going 38,000 right?
points.
So that's what they were saying. LeBron probably feels like he can't catch up. That's what Max – I'm going – this is Max's argument, right? LeBron probably feels like he can't catch up to Jordan because there's no way he's going to do 6-0. That's impossible. You lost already. That can't happen, right? But what he could try to do – is compete with Kareem for the best overall career, right? Like just like the all the points, all the whatever, and try to just go that route, right? And then when it comes to AD, he said, AD's got to start getting the chips up because he has a possibility to try to go for the best power forward of all time. Because obviously Tim Duncan right now is still that man, that dude, like by far. Because 5 chips is 5 chips.
Yeah, I think if you get 4... You're there
because your game's gonna overdo it. Yeah. Like you know, like your game is already gonna be better than his. I feel, and I'm not, and obviously he was the big fundamental. All of that, I'm not hating.
He's already better than him, like pure skill wise. We exactly. know that.
But you gotta prove it, right?
That's you gotta win. You gotta win.
Like you can, we know you can hit the curveball, but let's go see you do it, right? Like that's how it sports.
And
like,
dude, we all know that Duncan is a little. Miss gimme away from having 6.
Yeah, but we also know Duncan never won back to back. So if you win one back to back AD, you're already doing your thing.
But then like that miss gimme fueled the championship the next year. So like it all comes into play, right? Everything, you know, it's all relative. It means, you know, things happen, but whatever. Ashton Kutcher's butterfly effect is real.
But the thing is the main point that needs to be said.
Like that throwback, Mike?
Yeah.
That was a great movie, but
it was. It was pretty dope. That was like when Kutcher had a beard. You're like, who the hell is this dude? Like,
rugged Kutcher.
rugged Bird. Rugged Kelso. Yeah.
Yeah, Kelso. That was fucking crazy times.
Oh man, that's still a great show. Everybody should binge that show.
Yeah. Except Homeboy, that's on some wild shit.
Are you talking about Wilmer?
No, the other Jackson.
Who got kicked off?
In real life, that's a real fuckboy.
Yeah,
real
Danny Masterson. Yeah,
Masterson.
His last name probably sounds too close to masturbate, and he's just like, I couldn't tell the difference. I didn't know.
Yeah. So, but that was a great show, and but real talk. The main point that needs to be made here is the Lakers did their thing. Everybody else, you're on notice. You do what you look.
Consider this a warning.
Consider this a warning.
You remember that tweet? The preseason tweet?
Yes.
That's what we should have done when we traded for Schroeder. Consider this a warning.
Yep. I keep going back and bringing this up, but it is what it is. I always said it, and I've been saying this since we sucked and we were having those dog shit seasons after season after season. I like that these teams are kicking ass because when it comes time to kicking ass and my team's in, I know we're going to be in. And I knew that. I just knew it. I know it is what it is. It's just a cockiness of a fan. But I knew once it comes to we have a chance to do this, my team is not like your team. My team is going to put all the fucking chips in the middle of the table and say, let's go for all of it. And I knew it. Once we did it, like once we got LeBron, which was like, oh, yes, LeBron's coming no matter what. Then you get AD. Then you win the championship. Then they re-sign. Then all of a sudden, you shut the fuck up and you watch us pile them on. Like count, just keep count of our rings and hate. That's what you do. And I know. Look, I'll tell you this. And look, because I go, is it guaranteed that we're going to win the championship next year? Yes. But the real, my main thing is, look, no matter what the fuck happens last season, I'm still correct because my team was all in. That's all you can ask for as a fan base. Look, I'm not a fucking Rockets fan at all. Actually,
I knew you were going to go there.
But what did I always tell you? All those fuckers guys are still competing. If you're a Rockets fan, you got to know where you're at. You know your team ain't shit compared to these other markets. And the fact that you're still there over and over and over, you should respect that. You should appreciate it because they didn't. I know most Rockets fans, I think, didn't appreciate that bullshit of how they were still in the mix year after year after year when all the other teams, every 2 years, were bowing the fuck out and just shredding every salary, every contract. And only a few teams were really in. And look, the Rockets were one of those for a pretty long time.
It's a perfect segue, right? Yeah. It's a perfect, because that's literally the next topic we were going to talk about. And it's perfect because they literally just made a huge move. But yeah, like the Rockets, you know, their owner may be, you may not like him. You may think his book title is stupid. I definitely think it's stupid. Mm-hmm. But he definitely gives his management the opportunity to go out there and make some moves and do some shit. You know, they lost Daryl Morey to the Sixers, and then they go and make this trade for John Wall.
Daryl Morey's going to go coach the national team in China. No, what was he
going to do? No, he's Morey is the GM of the Philadelphia 76ers, who coincidentally helped give us who took Danny Green, right?
Yeah.
So good shit. Thanks, hey man, buddy.
Props to them. Props to
them. No, and by the way, before we move on completely, thank you, Danny Green. Thank you, Dwight Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Who else bounced?
JaVale.
Thank you, JaVale. JaVale. Man.
The one that was harder for me was Quinn Cook.
Well, he might be back, so let's pump the brakes.
Okay,
I don't want to. I think he's going to be back. So
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
To Dwight, it was a pleasure watching you be back on the Lakers, and it was a pleasure seeing you become a different version of yourself. That was awesome to watch. It was awesome to see your energy. I wish you luck in Philly if you play in the playoffs. I hope we kick your ass. And also, when we play in the regular season, I hope Dwight eats you alive. Anything you guys want to say about Dwight before we move on to the other guys?
It was awesome. It was a great for you to come full circle. The fact that you said you were going to give it back for us, obviously, I think as Laker fans, we should feel like you did. You were part of a great, a super good moment. A crazy,
amazing, legendary.
The history of basketball, though. No, I'm saying in the history of the whole game, right? This season was a crazy, weird, you know, it changed lives, I feel like. And I think he's one of those lives. So I will say this. I'm super happy for you, and I'm super thankful for what you brought to fan base. And look, much success, like, you know, Brandon said, of course, unless you're playing the squad. But other than that, man, I hope you have a solid season, and I hope you get what you want. If it's more minutes, but that is what you need, then more minutes. If it's just another role like the one you had here where you're able to be super impactful on a fucking great team, then I hope that's the case. I mean, but Godspeed, basically, man. I honestly, this is one of the, in my 30, like you said, when we're the same age, at 35 years of watching sports, it's one of the coolest storylines that I've seen in my life where like, somebody goes from fuck this guy to I like this guy to like, oh my God, this guy really changed this whole shit. You know, different, you know, it's just, I'll say, look, sports is crazy. I know it's a game, but at the same time, there's these crazy moments where you feel like, it almost feels like we know him. I feel like I know him when I don't know him at all. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah. I agree. And before I turn it over to Mike, like, he was only even on the Lakers because Boogie got hurt, right? So
yeah. Like, Boogie's now in Houston, dog.
Yeah, you know, eggs. Like, and it's pretty crazy stuff. And we'll get to that in a second. So, Mike, anything you want to say about Dwight?
My bad. Yeah. You know, thanks. He made up for, you know, his first go around. He left on a bad note. He came back. I mean, he left on a bad note this time too. But at least it's after.
Yeah, it was kind of an oopsie, but
yeah. Like he did the same shit again.
Well, at least he wanted to stay.
It was a misinterpretation.
No,
it was
a misinterpretation.
Yeah, Rob was just nah, we got Tres. Peace. Sorry.
Hey, but I like the fact that you kind of know that he was in the mix, right?
I mean, when
there was a couple games where it was really like he did his thing.
Yeah, for sure.
It was the Houston series, right?
Yeah,
he was. I mean,
Denver.
Yeah, well, Houston too.
Denver.
Yeah, because Houston they didn't really play him or JaVale as much, but
Denver.
Yeah, the Denver series. Yeah, he was man. He came through.
Yeah, I just feel that like him, JaVale, like if in previous years they would not have been able to bond and be cool on the bench, and the fact that they were and they were like leading the charge and cheers, and you know that as a fan, seeing that was incredible. It reminded me of, you know, the Laker championship years when, you know, we had the bench guys and like Mark Madsen was dancing and, mm-hmm. you know, it just shows that everybody knows their role. Like mm-hmm. at this moment, JaVale's role is dancing and he's fucking good at it. You know, like that's it's energy. It's, you know, especially if fans aren't there, like, you know, I think we take those things for granted. The Laker girls, the energy that you could pump into getting the crowd going, and also the crowd itself. So, you know, while we're going to miss those guys.
And these venues, bro, Staples Center is amazing. Like to be there with the whole.
People know that. And they know that like it would have been like, do you think that these playoff teams would have had a chance in Staples like with this team? Like probably not. Like with the crowd going ape shit. Like I doubt it. So. I'm very excited to see what happens and when fans are back. But you know, I do want to thank JaVale, Danny Green, good shit, but more so Dwight because of what happened. So that was a nice moment. Let's move on to the big trade of the day. John Wall, because that was the segue that I ruined because I wanted to give thanks to the Laker players. John Wall traded for Russell Westbrook and probably the most money exchange for the least amount of players in NBA history. Mm-hmm. It has to be, right? Like I think $80 million exchanged.
But a first round pick was also part of it, right?
First round pick is also part of it. 2023, it's top 12 protected, and that pick goes to what's it called? Where does that go? Who gave it the first? I can't even remember. I think it goes to Washington. I think Houston gave it the first round pick.
Yeah, I thought it was OKC because isn't OKC had like hella fucking first
round? Yeah, so I can't remember. I should pull it up because I have it on my phone.
Yeah, man, this is.
Yeah, what do you? So early on, a lot of people are saying that the Wizards won the deal because Westbrook is actually a capable NBA player who's played games. But what do you guys think?
Oh, look, you get what you get with Westbrook. You know what I mean? Like, you either like him or you don't like him, but he's bringing it 100% all the time, every time.
That's Russ. Yeah. Russ 100.
He's not a guy that's taking days off. He's just not that. And if you have a problem with motivation in your fucking organization, well, this guy's going to come in there and change that shit fast. You know, we talked about this before, right? He's a different kind of motivator. He's the kind of guy that's going to chew your ass out. You don't want to fuck up when you're playing with Russ. That's his attitude. That's his mentality. Look, Washington wasn't horrible.
No, they played okay at the end.
They have some pieces. They have some shooters. I think the chip on his shoulder is huge enough to work for a bit. I'm not gonna look. I know I'm a fan, so I'm coming at this a little rosy, right? But like, I do think it's gonna has a chance to work. He's reunited with Brooks, right? Scotty Brooks, whatever his coach that he had. So You know, that could be tight. I just think these kind of players that have the skills, but like maybe it hasn't worked out anymore, or maybe they're no longer at their very, very best. Just feeling wanted is kind of beneficial enough to where like, look, I could give this organization some good burn. Marc Gasol is nowhere near the fuck Marc Gasol, but he's still super valuable to teams, right? And I think Russ is still not even there yet at all. He's way better.
No, he was all NBA, all star. You know what I mean? Yeah, and he also had COVID. Like, this fool had COVID and still came back and played, like, not terribly. Like, he's still Russ. He's still going to be terrible from the three-point line. He's still questionable decisions. But Washington has athletic. Yeah. No, they do. And Bradley Beal, I think, you know, Bradley Beal is probably the best, you know, I don't want to say the best player I've ever played with because he literally played with Kevin Durant. Maybe the best player who wants to play with Westbrook at this point in his career. You know, KD was over it. You know, but here, so I have the details of the trade, right? So it was John Wall was traded to Houston with from Washington with a 2023 first round pick, lottery protected, 2024 top 12 protected, it's 2025 top 10 protected. Then it goes to 2026 top 8 protected. And if that doesn't work, it's 2 second-round picks for Russell Westbrook. What a deal. But yeah, pretty much a top lottery protected first round pick in 2023. So maybe he opts out and they stink, or they stink at the last year and they get that pick. I don't know, but not bad. It's pretty much like it's a fantasy trade. I don't want this guy. Do you want him? Like, you're frustrated with your guy.
Yeah. And he's going to probably bounce in there. But look, John Wall and Boogie back together in Houston.
I like that. I like it a lot.
You know what I mean? It, Mike said it earlier. Like, it's funny because Mike was like, yo, watch Harden still dip. You know what I mean? And
Listeners like, who the fuck is Miguel?
Oh, yeah. I was like, so like.
No. That's social Mike's name after 10 p.m.
Yeah. So like. So you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, what the fuck? Like, what if he doesn't though, right? Like, look, this team, I just said it earlier, this team's not, first of all, they're not beating our squad, right? Like, that's just facts.
Neither squad is, look, nobody. Neither squad is destined we're thinking for West. Many wins.
But you know how I am, Brandon. I never worry about the East till we have to, right? Like, I don't ever think about the East. Like, I'm only thinking about the Western Conference. So I'm thinking of Houston, right? That's what I'm focused on right now. And, yo, this team is, I'm not saying whatever skill, whatever you want to talk about, because we don't know what Boogie has in him still, right? But as far as for the chemistry issues that they had last year, at the very minimum, this team got better. And I think it could be that it was a case. This is one of those rare-ass win-win situations, like you said. You don't want me and they don't want me over there. Let's switch spots, right? Because I think John Wall is happy as fuck to leave Washington, and Russ is as happy as fuck to leave, you know, Houston,
yeah, dip out. You're right. So you know what's crazy though? It's what's left on Wall's contract. Like, oh my that's God. A lot of money still.
Yeah, he's got $1 billion left.
Yeah, they're both the same. Like, but to be honest, like I have heard like
Russ has the same amount of money tied to his
crazy.
Contract.
Yeah, pretty much almost the same. It's almost. Oh,
I think it's one less year though. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but
I think one has one less year, and they both have player options. And hopefully, and I know these teams acquired them hoping they'd opt out. But I do feel like Eric's saying, like,
highly doubt
it. I do feel that it's a better fit because, like, everybody's thinking about, like, James Harden has to have the ball in his hands. But I think you should take the ball out of his hands and give it to John Wall and let him push the ball, because get Harden running, moving in motion. And, you know, because this is a whole new team. This is a D'Antoni system where he's now Steve Nash. Like, they can, you know, because John Wall's specialty is pushing the tempo and distributing. And James Harden's specialty is putting the ball in the bucket. So it should be a good fit. So I think they can play together. I think it'll be a fine fit. You know, it kind of eliminates PJ Tucker coming to the Lakers because of all the guys that we got already. So I think everybody's kind of staying put at this point for Houston. Christian Wood is good. And by the way, Christian Wood is fucking good. Like, he's going to play really well there. He's from the Pistons, and the Pistons made a ton of.
No, yeah, yeah. And but the Pistons saying, he plays a five, right?
No, Christian Wood, he's going to play like the four. Like 6 foot nine. He came from Detroit, and the Pistons, I don't know what the fuck they did. They did a whole bunch of weird shit. They have like 15 power forwards.
I was going to say they signed more centers and
fucking power forwards. They have like Plumlee, Blake Griffin. Like, well, they're going to start like, yeah, our starting lineup is all 6 foot 10 guys. They can't, but they all suck.
Look, I'll tell you guys this. What I keep, you know, because I feel like, damn, I'm giving this team way too much props, but I did it already. And I'm
like saying Dantoni.
So Houston's doing all these things, right? And I'm saying this. The reason why I was saying this team was competing and doing all this thing and spending all this money is because they were trying to win with a guy that was never going to win it from, which I always felt like Harden just wasn't the guy. But they were still all in, and they gave him everything he needed. So I'll tell you this. If Harden, you guys said, if he has a problem with like what Brandon is talking about, let's let John Wall have the rock. At this point, I feel like the fan base should understand if ownership says, well, you got to get the fuck on out of here then. Because at this point, we're here because of you, motherfucker. We're here because we're trying to build a team around your non-winning ass. So what I'm going to tell you now is that fucking bounce on me. We'll take John Wall and Boogie and go ahead and overpay for another motherfucker if this is what we're getting, dog.
Yeah, like, we could have some dude who doesn't have a big fucking disgusting beard.
A disgusting beard with a fuck, you know what I mean? And like, look, you know what I mean? Shout out Arcadia.
With your non-winning ass.
I do. But let's be 100. Like, sometimes you got to know what's up. Like,
when they trade Harden, do you think Tillman Fertitta gives him his book signed, like, thanks for the memories in the front cover? Like, here you go, James, for the memories. James,
look, yeah. But look, serious, real talk. Houston won.
No, you have a good point.
I think they want to keep him because they have to, right? The fan base wouldn't forgive him. Unless the fan base kind of comes around and says, well, yo, maybe what the fuck? Like, maybe we shouldn't be giving this motherfucker $40 million, dog. Like,
well, I'm laughing because what if they trade him to Washington for Bradley Beal?
If that happens.
Oh, my God.
If that happens, Russ is waiting for him day one in practice and it's just swinging.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
just taking off.
He's going to punch him in his face.
He's just going to punch him in the face and say, now is it clear that we both can't be on the same fucking team?
Maybe he'll be like the guy from The Grinch, the stupid mayor, and he's going to shave his beard, like bring up that razor, bring up old memories. Fuck that guy, by the way.
But look, I'm just saying, I'm not saying that he's not in the right to want to win or whatever the fuck you want to think about. Harden, right? But what I'm saying is you're also part of the equation of the team that didn't get it done. I know you're thinking maybe it was ownership, maybe it was who they had it, but you were also part of that equation. So, look, this team was still with you the whole time, paying you hella money for you to be there. And if you don't want to be a part of it, it's understandable because you can try to, like, go to a championship team or whatever that you can happen. Look, James Harden still is super fucking valuable.
Oh, yeah, he's one of the best players in the league. And to be honest, like, if you look at it, like, one of the reasons why they lost, right, in the last few years, their best chance, is not because he got hurt or he did anything. It's because Chris Paul got hurt. Yeah. So, and, you know, he's going to be always that guy.
But it needs a running mate or running mates. Look, I'll tell you this.
Look, this is going to be fun to watch. I'm curious to see how this plays out.
Look, fuck salaries, because that doesn't for my point, and maybe someone could find it better. But what I'm just to kind of for what I was feeling, like if you were able to find a way to pair, let's say Harden with Simmons and fucking Embiid, yo, that team would be pretty. Obviously, I'm not saying they're winning, but that team would be all of a sudden interesting as shit, right? Like, so what I'm saying is, look, the money.
I don't think so personally.
No, I do. I feel like because Harden, I still think has value. I just think he needs to start giving the rock to somebody else. Like not somebody. Look, for example, if he went to Golden State, homie, what the fuck? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like a team that doesn't need him to be the motherfucker is where he's at in my end. And that's why I'm telling you.
Damn,
I know
for real.
I know I'm being harsh with the non-winning ass kind of statement, but I really feel like. You were part of it. The problem is you should have never been a one. You should have always been the second best player on a team, and that team would have won a championship.
Yeah, and it's crazy because he gets like the mega green light, and he averages like a million points a game.
But he deserves it. He deserves it.
He's super talented offensively. But like, I think in Philly, I do think Simmons is a great player. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm very curious to see what happens. I do think that these teams are going to be fun to watch, but not any good. Like real good. Like you said, they're not going to keep the Lakers. I don't even think they'll be in the top five of their respective conferences.
Hey, let me ask you another question. Like, who would you, because they're both, I think, bad contracts, bad situation, guys that are not at their best anymore, and one's older than the other.
Who's older, Russ?
Yeah, who would you
rather, yeah, right, Russ is older.
Who would you rather have? I honestly feel that even though Wall's younger, I honestly think I would rather have a Russ, dog.
Well, yeah, because he's available to play, and John Wall has
been available. We have a recent history of Russ actually like being a productive NBA player, but I do think
MVP. He's been an MVP as well, so I definitely would take Russ.
But I do think that Westbrook is a better. I mean, no, I'm sorry, that Wall's a better fit traditionally.
For Harden, yeah,
and that's why I think I'd rather have Wall if I'm the Rockets, and. I just think Wall is, you know, he's also better defensively, but I'm also remembering him from like 2 years ago, like you said. So things could change.
And also John Wall can do the Dougie. So,
hey, he can do the Dougie and he plays with Boogie. So who knows? I've been wanting to see those guys play together for a while. I'm actually glad it's not on the Lakers. So I do want to bring up one more signing before we move on to the NFL.
Hold up. Before we move on, Eric, I know you said it's a win-win, but who do you feel won this trade?
Well, clearly like both teams.
No. But like I said, that's like a fucking whoa.
Don't give me the first take answer.
I'll answer it two different ways because it's two different answers. I think team-wise, Houston won. Player-wise,
okay,
between John Wall and Westbrook. I think Westbrook won. Like I think. I think Westbrook really, really, because I think John Wall didn't want to be in Washington, but I think for other reasons, I really do think that Westbrook flat out was like completely, really not
done with Houston.
He was so done with Houston. Like he was flat out fucked this place. So I think he won in that aspect of it. But I do feel like look, health is a huge part of
those. Those are good answers. Yeah.
You keep bringing up the correct point. We haven't seen John Wall show us, but we want to believe that maybe he's going to still be at least somewhat of John Wall.
An all-star.
But look, John Wall.
Level?
John Wall.
Maybe not in the West because
John Wall.
There's a lot of guards.
But at the same time, if he has that issue, so does Boogie. It's not like Boogie's coming.
Yeah.
So, you know, this could be a disaster as much as it can be great, right? But we're obviously, not because I'm rooting for the Rockets, but because I never root for injuries, period, I'm definitely hoping for like the best Rockets team that they can possibly be health wise, and you know I definitely want all of that. But
chance. Well, but it should be fun. Team, it should be fun for a little bit.
What is the line we all like to say in sports? Right, on paper, right? On paper, that Houston Rockets team should be pretty good. That those three guys, and then whatever else, and at least you know D'Antoni's gonna just. His office is going to say, fuck it. Let's just make this dude happy and let's just get buckets.
Where is D'Antoni? Brooklyn. He's in Brooklyn.
Yeah. He's with the Nets. Yeah. He's an assistant coach to Nets.
That's right. He's in Brooklyn. I think the coach is like.
No. But remember, that was what I'm saying is that's where Harden was supposedly trying to push a trade to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's not happening. So you're not getting your D'Antoni, but you're getting, you know, no more Westbrook, which you wanted. And you're getting players where, like, again, that the team could still tell you, look, we're still trying. We're still competing. Are you trying to be part of this or are you trying to get the fuck on out of here? So I just think, look, first of all, I think we spent way too much time on Houston. That's fact.
Wait, it's a huge trade, sure. You know. Like they fucking trade huge point cards every year, so you know, like it's pretty wild. All right, we have spent too much time on them, so let's do a hard left.
Yeah, for sure.
Our favorite place to go visit, LeVar Town.
Oh man!
Oh baby, we're talking about the Ball family.
We're talking about three balls in the NBA?
That's right, man. That's right. I just want to bring it up, man. LiAngelo signs a deal, non-guaranteed contract with the Detroit Pistons, continuing the Pistons' trend of not really confusing everyone of what the hell their plan is. So now they have a lineup of Jeremy Grant, Miles Plumlee, or Mason Plumlee, whatever Plumlee is still around, Blake Griffin, Thon McCore.
Bro.
I don't
Less.
God. Oh, my God.
Amazing story, and it's great. And honestly, any father in the world would, I mean, come on.
Particular moment, all three sons are in the NBA.
You can't knock that. You can't.
What's up?
But now talking about Detroit, since what you were talking about is,
what are they doing?
It has nothing to do with basketball and how the fit works. That's a flat out, like, our team's trash. The moves we're making are an embarrassment. Let's get some sort of fucking news, some traction, because there's people that are fans of these Ball family, like, period, right? There's those super, you know, that TV show that they had, that reality
on just, Facebook,
some motherfuckers watched, you know what I mean? Like, there was people that actually gave a fuck about LeVar Ball's comments and what the hell he had to say. And you might be into the Ball brothers, right? So, like, those are the kind of signings you make when you're a shit team like the fucking Pistons. And I'm not hating on the kid. I'm not even hating on him. I'm just – look, the Pistons are probably, like, about as barely an NBA franchise at this moment as far as what the team they're going to try to – line up this season coming up. So
it's not going to be pretty.
It's not going to be pretty, but you have a chance to fucking prove yourself. So get on it, man, young man, and take over and, you know, seize the moment. Right. But I don't think that move on the Piston side of things was made because they were like, yo, we're going to get some good basketball out of this kid.
Yeah, exactly. Like, right. You can't see D Rose is like, he's like driving down the paint and then he looks right and he sees LiAngelo Ball and he's like, fuck yeah. Thank God.
We're cooking now and shit. You know what I mean? Like,
so, I mean, look, maybe this dude was super impressive in a workout and they're like, hey, let's give him a shot and see if he makes some threes. You know, essentially he can easily fill what KCP was early on in his career, which was a 3-and-D guy. LiAngelo's semi-tall. He's like 6'4". I don't know if he can. We'll see. I think it's like you said, it's more of like a show, but at the very moment, all three sons are in the league and contracted by teams. So that's a hell of a bragging moment. LeVar will remember this the rest of his life.
In real life, that's what you got to do though, right? Like, fuck what the Pistons' intentions are. I was just telling you, I don't buy that the Pistons had good intentions as far as like serious bet, but that doesn't mean he can't show out and ball out.
Yeah,
and
I mean, look, exactly. It's
fuck still, what your intentions were. My intentions are the moment I get the next opportunity, I'm going to kill it.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to hope he's been in the gym practicing and getting ready for this opportunity. It's like, you know, and this is a perfect transition because we are going to talk about football right now. But, you know, Dan Orlovsky was talking about the Bronco situation. And it's like how this is – he was very mad about the Broncos quarterbacks and not, you know, being ready for the moment. And how any given moment, it could be your opportunity. And, you know, we always say that saying, like, any given Sunday. And, you know, like, ha, ha, ha. But it's the truth, right? Like, in the world of sports, there's only a select few that start. And if you're not starting, you know, like, you already know if you played high school sports or even like just like not, like if you're playing the same position as somebody else that's better than you, you're just not going to play. And that sucks. So if there's an opportunity, you want to be ready for it. And hopefully LiAngelo is ready for it.
Exactly. That's all he can do.
You know,
and that's what's a joke. But look, we'll say this because we did kind of group them all together. Hey, if he has his opportunity, well, obviously Melo has an opportunity to do even more.
And very excited about. The Hornets are another mystery of what the hell they're doing too, with paying Gordo and with LaMelo. But you know, they're going to be. I don't know. They got cool jerseys.
Mm-hmm. They got crazy contracts. They still have Terry Rozier on a crazy contract.
Dude, I mean, like they mad scary
pay. What's the, they have? Yeah, they had.
It's 100%
I think
scary.
They cut, but I think they got a Batum. They cut Batum, right?
They was he on the stretched squad? Him, I think, or they're looking. No, they restructured him and they're looking to stretch him or something like that. Like it's they're looking to get rid of some bad contracts.
They're so not going to be good guys.
No, they're equally bad. But like
that has nothing to do with the kid, right? He's getting drafted. His
he got yeah. So, he'll be fun. I'm excited to see. You know, that'll be must see TV, right? The Hornets and Pelicans. If LiAngelo makes the league, we'll see. But let's move on to the gridiron. So. We know we're not going to do the traditional picks that we've been doing because these last like 10 days have been very weird in NFL land. It's been a series of delays for one team in particular. And we've seen a little bit of unfair treatment from the league, and it's not gone unnoticed. A lot of people have noticed it, and it's, you know, I don't know how to feel about it, but I know Mike, you want to talk about it, and it's going to be one of the topics that, you know, it's been on my mind for a while as well. So to catch everybody up to speed of what I'm talking about,
I'm gonna go grab a beer because we need to
so yeah, just go for it.
You guys keep it going. I'm gonna go
already,
get a beer.
I'm already two Crown Royals deep. So shout out to the Canadian whiskey Crown Royal, the fine deluxe blended Canadian whiskey. So what I'm talking about is the Ravens had, like, you know, when we were talking shit about the Titans earlier, the Ravens just had so many positive tests. They had, I think it's up to 20 now in this team or something like that. It's around that.
They won up the Titans.
Really won up. Do you remember that phrase, Mike? Tighten the fuck up. The Ravens tighten the fuck up. And they're like, okay, I see you, Tennessee. I will raise you. You're whatever you got. And we got you. So, you know, right after the Ravens played, I think it was on Sunday. This was like last Sunday. Monday report came out, ton of players tested positive, like 11 dudes. And that put the Thanksgiving game in jeopardy, which we all know at this point got pushed to Monday or Sunday.
No, first was Sunday.
First was Sunday, and then Monday, then Tuesday, Monday, then Wednesday.
And then Wednesday.
And it's like, so that there's that storyline where, and as the days progressed, more Ravens tested positive. So
more players were out.
Players were out, including the quarterback, Lamar Jackson, who's not having a good year.
Like four of the running backs.
All the running backs. I did have Gus Edwards, who literally got me a touchdown in fantasy, and that was about it. And we will talk about fantasy in a little bit. So there's that storyline. And they finally played. The Steelers looked like crap because they waited fucking a week to play, essentially.
2 weeks.
Yeah, and somehow this is still part of the old. It's so dumb. And then, so this news happens, and we already talked about that. But let's go back to Sunday. Let's go back a couple of days. All of a sudden, we hear that the quarterbacks of the Denver Broncos are ineligible to play due to a COVID-19 exposure. So essentially the same thing, except it only affected the quarterback position because it seemed like quarterbacks were all hanging out. It seemed like the story was they were all eating lunch. They took their masks off to eat lunch. I don't know how these people eat lunch, but apparently they were spitting and shit, or I don't fucking know, but you know, like, or maybe they were sitting literally right in front of each other like this. You know, I'm really not too sure, but all of the quarterbacks is positive for COVID, or I think one player is positive, and they were like, well, we were like literally near this dude. So the NFL is like, nope, got to sit out. So the Broncos had zero quarterbacks available. Yet the NFL was like, that sounds like a fucking you problem. So one hand, and that's where the discrepancies lie, right? Like one hand, you see Baltimore, they're making exceptions, they're pushing the game. And the Steelers are getting very frustrated, as they have a right to be. You know, Juju's comment was a little juvenile, but his point remains the same. Like, we've been good. You know, go ahead, Mike. My bad.
No. I was going to say, the crazy part about it, I think, is when that game, when they ended up, you know, pushing up their bye week for whatever, I think it was like week three or week four, I think they were playing the Broncos. So that was, you know, that was a bit strange. Maybe that's why this time around, I don't know, it doesn't make it okay or anything, but I don't know if that's why this time around the NFL was more of like, you know, we pushed the bye week on the previous time you guys did this, and now this is the second, you know, second repeat offender.
Yeah.
So this time, figure it the fuck out.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it okay or anything by any means, not what I'm saying, but I don't think that they were as the NFL, like you said, the NFL kind of would just like, hey, fuck it, figure it out.
No, but I'm kind of saying that's what they kind of should. Like, so this is where remember I told you guys, I felt like that. Like, as a Niner fan, we saw how we got holes against the Packers, where our whole fucking...
Yeah.
And it was like,
basically really, all of our offense.
Yeah, but look, remember,
isn't Ayuk still... Doesn't he still have COVID?
He just... I think they just...
Finally COVID free.
But look, they bought him back to the squad.
But this is where I tell you guys, I feel like I had that change of heart, because I had people explain in kind of like difference that I heard people explain, and I was talking about, where the NFL has made it clear, first of all, they're going to push games through the games as much as they fucking can, and if they don't cancel any of them, they're not going to. But what they've made clear is they're not postponing or changing any games at all for any competitive reasons, simply for the health reasons, right? And this is where the difference comes, what happened with the Niners, what happened with the Broncos, basically to what happened with the Ravens. The Niners had, it was like a 5 or 6 players that were like in that group that had to sit out, right?
Right.
Same thing happened with the Broncos. The Ravens were flat out having a fucking outbreak in the whole organization. The Ravens had coaches, players every month. And it wasn't like you – look, what happened with the Niners is you had the false tests or the positive tests, and then 0 tests, positive moving forward.
Right.
What happens is every single day moving forward, 2, 3 new guys, 5 new guys.
Yeah, there was more players. That's true.
So
this is not
like a competitive reason. We're thinking, because we're looking at it from our end, right? So that's where I had my change of heart. We're thinking, since they had no offensive linemen, that's why they postponed the game. They postponed the game because they still haven't even had that situation in the rap. They still didn't stop getting motherfuckers that were catching it. You get what I'm saying? Like, they were still every day more and more and more and more and more and more. With the Broncos, it was simply like, eliminate all 4 of those quarterbacks and the problem stops. That's
what.
And on top of what Mike said is, peep this though, the Broncos didn't report it themselves. They flat out lied like a motherfucker when the NFL came reporting.
That's a problem.
Other players.
No, that was the Ravens. Yeah,
no. From the Broncos. Other players from the Broncos. Well, maybe them too, but other players from the Broncos themselves. What happened was other players on the team straight up hit that snitch line and hit the NFL up and said, yo, these fools in that room, those 4 quarterbacks weren't doing what they told you they were doing. These motherfuckers were not rocking masks. They were in rooms where they weren't supposed to be together. They were doing what they weren't supposed to do it, and they ain't telling you. Because in the beginning, they didn't eliminate all 4 quarterbacks. They only did that after players on the OND team said, those fools were lying to you. They were at a position where they were with the fool that had the test in a room without masks. That happened. And they told you that wasn't the case. So that's what I'm trying to tell. The NFL was like, no.
Then there you go. I mean,
then you get what you fucking get.
Then I agree with the NFL's decision right there. I actually didn't know that story. So I appreciate you telling me. Not that you're breaking news, because clearly the information was out there and I just didn't do any research. But hey, that's what a podcast host does, man. We just bring up shit. And now,
but you're right. Because
go off of
what we know. We only know, like you said, as a fan, as a Niner fan, I'm thinking, wait a minute. I see my team have no players. I saw my team play a game like the Broncos. The Broncos went into a game where, let's keep it real, they had 0% chance to win it. Like, flat out.
All right. So
that going in.
I want to circle back to something Mike said, right? Mike said something about the Ravens potentially lied too. So what did you mean by that?
So the reports were that there was, I think it was the
coach.
I don't know if it was the coach, right? So he didn't report his symptoms. He took off the tracker and everything. So he basically was flat out trying to just hide all of it.
Damn.
Or it seems like it.
Yeah.
And then that's how it spread throughout the team. Again, it went through, you know, it was the coach, I'm pretty sure, got other coaches, you know, sick, or and whatever players were around that started getting, you know, spread through the players as well. But it was kind of weird because the Ravens basically disciplined the coach in-house without the NFL handing out any, you know, disciplinary actions. Oh, like the Raiders did, for example.
That's like the LAPD, like, nah, we suspended the officer for 2 weeks, you're good.
Right. And okay, cool. So problem solved. But
thank you very much.
The Raiders got fucking the Raiders got a pick taken away, a draft pick. Like, so what's going to happen? Of course, the NFL hasn't ruled or handed out any kind of punishment to the Ravens as of yet. But I mean, shit, if they're reporting that a coach was trying to, like, I mean, they didn't say it like that necessarily, but if he didn't report his symptoms and he removed his tracker or tracking device, whatever.
Oh, that coach was on some super silly shit.
Right. Like, he basically worked in the league. It seems like, right. It flat out seems like he basically was like, fuck, I don't want to tell anybody because I don't want to, you know, or you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know what his intentions were or what he was trying to do, but that's the report. And that's why, again, because they, so far the Ravens have reported that they've taken disciplinary actions to the coach, but the NFL hasn't handed down any punishment to the team yet.
In fact, they rewarded them.
Yeah, but that being said, this is where I agree with you guys. I do feel like the whole this is the situation. That's why the NFL did what it did. I did say that, and I did say I changed my mind. But I will say where I understand is the one thing that is fact, whether it's fair or not, and unfortunately, no one cares, and who cares how fair shit is. I do feel like the Steelers are completely getting fucked here when they should. So that is where I feel like, look, I do feel like
and we are not Steeler truthers here by any means whatsoever.
Hell no.
The league did have to handle it, I feel, the way they did based on how the Ravens situation was. But at the same time, that led them to completely screw the Steelers over. That was – and look, aren't the fucking Steelers playing on – they're scheduled to play on Monday or whatever or something. You know, it's like –
Sunday.
You know that game's got to get moved. If the league really wants to do the right thing, that game better be moved to Tuesday or Wednesday. Because
what do you call it?
It's just not fucking fair for the Steelers. Like, straight up. Like,
wait, so today was supposed to be the Ravens and Cowboys Thursday night.
Yep.
You know, but they're playing Sunday.
But I do think the Ravens definitely shouldn't get nothing postponed. Because at this point, you're forfeiting a game if you don't got it done.
If you don't have enough players to for the next game, then that's an L.
Now look, now that we all made fun of the fucking people for being silly and whatever, all we did, now let's take the positives and let's learn, right? So what did we learn? No team should ever have all quarterbacks ever in the same place at once. One quarterback should always be way the fuck away in case whatever the fuck happens with the fucking Broncos happens. Like, there shouldn't be three quarterbacks hanging out. Two of them and keep one guy away from everybody.
Because they had a wide receiver playing quarterback.
Yeah, But what I'm saying is, like, for example, let's say I was thinking as the Niners. You got to keep one of those guys away. Because if, let's just say, Jimmy and fucking and Nick got it. Well, then you still have, even though it's not like it's great, but like.
I was about to say, CJ.
You still got CJ there, though, right? And that's what I mean. The Broncos had a backup quarterback. Fuck the situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, so all of us in the country have to get, well, not even the country, the world have to get smart of how we handle this. It's no different with these teams. It's no different with these leagues. I do think the NFL has been doing what they can as far as trying to find these teams some heavy money, losing draft picks, you know, some crazy stuff. And I do think the Ravens are probably getting ready to lose a nice draft pick, like a motherfucking,
like a second, third,
like round. A third, yeah, something that's like hurts like big time, because you know, in whether, like you said, you can't control everybody on your organization, right? So if that coach was on some wild shit, doing some stupid shit, understandable. There's some bad, but the way, like you said, trying to handle shit internally during a pandemic, nah. We don't got time for none of that. Yeah. Look, we could have told you, yeah, handle that. but that would have been after you hit us up first. None of this, we took care of that, and then you found out 3 weeks later. Because
that you know how it is. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Of course.
Than permission.
Yeah, and that's why we all go, like I said, I know we call bullshit. We should all be calling bullshit when bullshit's getting done. But it isn't like we're trying to sit on some sort of tower and judge. It's simply like, that was wrong. We should all acknowledge that was wrong. Whether we want to say we understood why you did the wrong thing, we all need to come to the conclusion that that was fucking wrong and we shouldn't do that moving forward. You get what I'm saying? Like, look, if you did the wrong thing, Brandon, we call you out on it and we move forward and we change it. It right. isn't let's get stuck there. Let's stay there. But at the end of the day, we have to at least acknowledge we can't do this again, at least.
Yeah, and it seems like one wrong was rewarded and one wrong was punished. And, yeah. You know, the NFL just needs to get more consistent with this. And I get it. This is a brand new thing. And, you know, it sucks that we're still dealing with it. But in reality, we just need to be smarter about, you know, and people need to stop being so selfish about, you know, oh, man, like if you have a couple symptoms, like just stay the fuck home and stop fucking being stupid. Like, it's very simple. It's not that difficult. And to that Ravens coach, you're an idiot. And I do hope that you don't work in the NFL again, because clearly you're too dumb to understand.
You're selfish. You're dumb.
Yeah. You're too dumb. Right. And you may be a brilliant football mind, and I don't know who the hell you are. And Eric DeMarco.
No, I don't think they named him.
And maybe he or she is a brilliant football mind, but clearly football mind takes up most of that mind, because the rest of it is a empty void. Where a brain should be.
And to the point that you were mentioning earlier about was it Dan Orlovsky talking about the quarterbacks?
No.
That's why I agree with him. I think him knowing, like, you guys completely were not professionals. Like, what do we talk about? Being ready, doing everything you can to be there for the game. You flat out threw that shit all out the window because you didn't give a fuck. What, because you guys want to have lunch together, dog? What the fuck are we talking about right now, dog? Like, there's like, you heard Raheem Mostert when he was talking about the Niners press conference of the last game.
Man, that hurt.
All the stuff that everybody's doing. And imagine you're that teammate and you're like, wait, this motherfucker here. It's like us three right here. We decide 2 weeks from now we're going to do a podcast where we're going to meet each other in live and we're going to do this. We all agree to get tested and all the above, right? Boom, boom. We do this. And I show up day off and be like, guys, I was in Vegas yesterday, you know, whatever, just – at the pool. Whatever nastiness I'm going to tell you.
Even worse, we record, but then we find out 2 days later you were in
Vegas. Yeah, you're right. I didn't tell you that. You were just like.
Exactly.
I was looking at your IG and I saw that you were in Vegas. I was like, oh yeah, I was in Vegas heavy, dog. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and.
I didn't tell you.
Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah. Thanks for the invite. Like, your wife has to miss work. But what I'm saying is, not even Brandon gets screwed. Now your wife has to miss work because of me. And I'm affecting some other person. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's
dude, I have diabetes. I mean, like, hopefully nothing happens to me, but it's like, you know, I'm obviously probably at the lower scale of the risk factor for diabetes because I'm young and healthy, relatively and skinny. But like, you can easily pass it to somebody that you didn't really think about. And you're like, oh shit. Like, I don't know. You got to be careful. That's all.
What I'm talking about is, even if fuck the realness of the health, just talking about it, a football player, like thinking about it as a team. Well, dude,
fucking Mark Andrews is a diabetic. He's on the fucking Ravens. He's a type one. Like,
but what I mean,
didn't he get?
I think he tested positive.
He tested fucking positive.
Yeah. But what I'm trying to tell you,
and luckily he's in shape and young and should be okay. But what I mean is,
let's just say you're the kind of motherfucker that even believes this is fate. It doesn't exist. Even if you get it, you're gonna live, right? Let's just say you're at that level. But what I'm trying to tell you is,
get on my level.
Yeah. But what I'm trying to tell you is, even if you're that guy, you do know that the league has rules. And if you don't follow them, you're going to fuck it up for your team. So, again, I'm trying to put it to the level of even the guy that doesn't give a fuck about code. He still knows that if he gets caught doing something he shouldn't be doing, his team's going to lose a game probably because of him. And at the very basic level of sports, you know, you don't want to be the guy that is the reason why your team is not going to be competitive in the fucking game. And like I said, there's four quarterbacks that were unavailable when all four of them suck, probably aren't even good enough quarterbacks for the league. But what I'm saying is you still screwed these other players on your team that are serious about this life, that are ready to go out there. Look, this Bronco, let's just talk a little football for real part about it. This Broncos team has sucked all year long, but that defense, that defense has been super competitive and has played and has brought it and has never quit yet. And if you're one of these players that is giving it – look, they did it this fucking – in the beginning of the game of the Saints, they were still competitive. That defense was still there. Eventually, they're gonna you're going to fall apart. But what I'm saying is if you're bringing it like this and then you have these other group of dudes that are completely on the opposite level of how seriously they're taking it, I mean – That's how you have a dysfunctional organization. That's how we have a country that is not being able to get on the same page. You get what I'm saying? Sometimes, fuck whether you agree with it or not. There's rules. If you don't want to fuck it up for the other guys, just follow them and keep it pushing, dog. It's just, look, they tell you not to fucking wear the wrong color socks during the fucking game and you follow these fucking rules. If you're not supposed to yell the shit out because you don't want to get a flag at the game, you have to follow these fucking rules. Fuck getting over the fact that you believe it or not. If you understand that you're going to affect your team on the football field because of your stupid actions, that should be enough for a professional athlete.
You know, like, would you risk it all too? Like, would you come into work if you had the flu and you were throwing up and shit? Like, you'd probably stay home. So, like, same shit. Like, it's not a fucking hoax. It's not, like, just don't stop putting other people in jeopardy for selfish reasons.
But even if you do believe it's a hoax, you know what is not a hoax? The NFL suspending motherfuckers or doing what they...
Yeah, you know, for sure. And a team that's already struggling, like you said, where Lamar is not having a good year. Their running game has not been going on. They were literally relying on Dez Bryant as a receiver. The defense is held together. And they're in a division where they're third place. You know, the fucking Browns are 7-3. The Ravens are 11-0. The Browns are
8-3,
right? Yeah. 8-3. So they're 8-3. So pretty much, like, you're looking at a team that may not even make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And speaking of teams that may not make the playoffs, it's a perfect transition to our beloved 49ers.
You didn't think
we'd get here, but we're here. We're talking about it. And look, I mean, now it's a lot more realistic for us to make the playoffs this year. When I say us, I'm talking about the 49ers. Because us three are all 49er fans. If you're the first time listening and you're listening to the deep, we appreciate it, especially in 2020. Man, good shit. Love that. Love it.
Sucks for you that you have nothing better to do, but hey, man.
I mean, look, maybe you are doing something really important. Maybe you're performing surgery in some COVID unit, or you're just driving because you needed to get out of your house to escape your wife or husband yelling at you so much. I don't know. But that being said, the 49ers, they won against the Rams, like Eric called it. He said, we're beating the Rams. They did, swept the Rams. Now they're 5-6. The seventh seed is almost kind of obtainable. I'm going to pull up the seedings right now. How are you guys feeling?
They're one game behind the seventh seed, which is the Cardinals at this moment. And the Cardinals have they have an injured Kyler Murray, and they have one more game. So basically, the Cardinals lose this week, Niners win, they're already tied with one more heads-up game coming up. And that's all it takes for the Niners to get the seventh seed. Simple as that. But again, what I say is just like I said, the Rams game, we can only stay alive, right? This Bills game is beyond huge.
Oh, it's huge, so huge.
Not only because it gets you to 6-6, but you got Washington and Dallas coming up after this. If you win this fucking game, you're at 6-6 with Washington and Dallas coming up. And if you find a way to be 8-6, you're looking pretty against your two divisional rivals to end the season with Arizona and Seattle. That's the way that you're – look, at that point, fuck how it turns out. If the Niners, after all the shit that's gone through, are able to get to an 8-6 and say, fuck it, it's down to the last two games. I mean, goddamn, we got to take that for it. We got to respect that, because this team has been the most injured, the most all, whatever you want to call it, about all that kind of shit.
Depleted all season. Depleted.
And
yeah, remember like our biggest three games, we had literally none of our best players. Yeah. And Kittle, Mostert, Debo, Garoppolo, Sherman, so Bosa, like Kwan, who's on another fucking team. Yeah. Like all of them have been out. Like every single player that I mentioned has been out, and they're all incredible players.
And not only do the Niners have all those bad things that have happened to them, they're in the division that's about to send three teams to the playoffs. So what I'm saying is, they didn't even catch it. Like, if the Niners had all of this and they were in the NFC East, well, shit, we would be solidly in first place right now, still coasting.
Oh, yeah, so, five and six is a golden NFC East. My God.
We clinched. If that was we would be like,
yeah. You guys won five games.
So that's what I'm trying to say. Like,
he said we clinched.
It's a situation that is crazy, right? But look, this is why I always relate to the stuff of like how I talked to my son about the situation, right? And one thing I kept telling about the season, because I said, if we're mathematically in, I'm in, right? I'm not out till we're out. But one thing I kept telling us, one thing you got to understand, Eric, is the truth of the matter is no one at all in the league, no fans, no players, nobody gives a flying fuck about what's happening to the Niners. No one cares. No one feels sorry for us. No one's going to be like, yo, man, that's kind of fucked up what's happening with the Niners. Let's not game plan that tight this week because, you know, that's not fair. Like, their teams are going to come in there and try to beat the dog shit out of the Niners no matter who's there, no matter who the fuck's not there. And the only way you win games is doing what Kyle's doing and saying, we haven't said it enough, at least in this podcast right now, is Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator, where you're like, so at the same time, these guys, you know what I mean, the coaching that they're doing, all of this stuff that they're doing, it's just next level.
How I mentioned two all pro players that were out, Sherman, Bosa, Kwan, or maybe three, right? Because Kwan was great as well. And just to be able to have the depth that we've been talking about for the last couple of years, it's quite impressive to be where we're at. Like, I think 8-8 would be a massive success considering the amount of injuries that we've had. If somehow the Niners make the playoffs, that would be, I don't want to call it epic because, you know, we have aspirations to win Super Bowls, but it would be a pretty impressive performance considering what has happened.
Yeah, but look, obviously fans, the reason why we're believing now is because once there's a chance, you believe hard, right? But remember,
is short for fanatic, right?
Yeah, but if this happens, remember, if this happens, now we're fast forwarding, right? If this happens let's just say, fuck whatever happens here, the Niners found a way to sneak into the playoffs. If that happens, well, at that point have pretty much every single player back besides the Bosa's that were completely done for the year. You can have a realistic chance of having Kittle back within the next few weeks. You have
Garoppolo's done though, right?
No. Garoppolo was a four to six week window. The Bills game is already the fifth week. He could literally in a week from now probably be ready to play again. What I'm saying is, all we need is this fucking Bills game, Nick. Nick, you need
to get it done. Get it done. We need Josh Allen to have a couple of picks.
No, but that being said, you guys know for the last forever years how hard it is for us as even our greatest defense. We struggle with running quarterbacks. That's why fucking Russell Wilson's bitch ass has been doing shit against us forever. Because on third downs, we never get off the fucking field against those kind of quarterbacks. And that's what I'm saying. It's the problem with the Bills with Allen, because that dude can do his thing. But hey,
he's quite talented, and he's fast, he's mobile.
But we need the dub, and there's no time for nothing. Like, there's no time for bullshit. We have to get the job done. and Nick's got to do what he's got to do.
Look, everybody's back except for Kittle and Garoppolo. Debo's back. Mostert's back. So the Bills can't really run the ball.
Well, and Brandon, like I said, Brandon Ayuk's back, you know, from the COVID list. He's expected to make a start. Yep. Look, it's all happening at the right time. But again, if you don't win, it's over. It's a wrap.
And I'll agree there.
If you beat the Bills, the reason why it's huge, because now I'm going to get on with some stupid jinxing shit, is if you win that, at that point, you don't even have to rush Jimmy back because you can beat the fucking
We can beat Washington with Mullins.
No, you can beat him with the same quarterback the Broncos just trotted out, Holmes. Like, just like, let's do this. Let's pick up
hints. Oh, you mean Bethard?
No, the Broncos for that wide receiver.
No, I know, but like, I'm kidding. Yeah. We have, you're right. We have Bethard.
No, like that, but we would have to bench Bethard for him. Like, you know, like I said, so. I really
feel footage of you on human rights. Okay, you're ahead of Bethard.
We sign him to put him in. Like, we have no quarterbacks available. What about Bethard? He's fully healthy. Like I said, we have no quarterbacks available.
Nothing. I don't even know why he's still on the team.
But you know, like it's a crazy time, right? But I do think the Niners have the hugest game ahead of them, which is a lot of teams right at the next.
And it's on Monday night. It's a Monday night, so we get a worldwide audience. This is the game where we would get together and watch it, and unfortunately, we can't. So until then, you know, we'll reconvene afterwards. But I'm very excited. Is there anything else you guys want to mention?
Yeah, well, fantasy football.
So
last game of the regular season for most.
Yes.
People, so first. You're either making it, you're either out. Solidifying your spot in fantasy football. I was in two leagues this year. I'm in the playoffs so far for both of them. I do have in our league that we're together, Brandon, I have no chance to miss the playoffs. If I lose, I'm at worst case scenario the sixth seed. In the work league, I am currently the sixth seed, and the seventh seed does have a chance to catch me, and I'm playing the seventh seed. So I'm huge in a battle.
You win and you're in.
I'm in, and this is a league that I've won three times. I feel like the way we've been playing fantasy forever. I've had the number one overall seed. I've gotten bounced in the first round. I've had all the kind of teams that you can imagine. So one thing that I learned in all the seasons is you just want to get into the playoffs, and then whatever the fuck happens there, happens there. So
it happens.
You know, so if I get in, I get in. I'm alive, and I'm alive in both leagues. That's all we can ask for. Another dope thing of the storyline is you guys, I heard we mentioned it once in the podcast. I played my son and beat the dog shit out of him. I get to fucking finish the season against him, so I'm just going to have to destroy him. There's no
other way. You should.
He has no chance to make the playoffs. Like I said, even if I lose, I'm still in. That doesn't change anything.
This is in Stewart's league, right?
Yeah, I'm still going to destroy him because I have to. That's just the way I got to do it. I'm going to win by 100 again, I think. That's just the game plan going in. And, you know, good luck to everybody out there that's got their lineups. But, man, it's go time, right? You got these guys. You got the bye weeks over for the last time with the Bucks. And the Bucks? And who else had the bye week?
Yeah, Bucks and I really don't remember.
Panthers, I think it was. Or so
whoever the fuck. Yeah, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Carolina. Carolina.
Yeah. So then now we're
right, dope. So you're 2-for-2 in the playoffs. Congratulations. Best of luck.
What about you?
I was going to ask Mike. I was going to finish off last because I got the most leagues.
I'm only in two leagues. One league, I'm the one seed. I mean, it doesn't matter win or lose. I'm good. And the second league is the one I joined with you, Brandon.
Thank you very much for joining and replacing my little brother who didn't give two fucks about this league.
It's crazy because
you're in it. You're fucking in it, bro.
I was going to say, if I win this week, I think I got a shot. So
I
just got to do my job. I just got to win this week and see what happens. But if I win this week, I'll be 2-for-2. But tall task. I was out of the picture for
I was in the doldrums of that league. Oh my god! But
put together back to back wins, and I got a shot. So this next week, if I win, I'm playing D boy.
please take out D boy. That would be so great.
I know. That's why I'm like, I play D boy. So Shout out to D-Boy, but yeah.
Shout out to D-Boy, but fuck
it. I gotta beat you. I gotta beat you this week for sure.
All right, so one for two in the number one seed. So you can potentially be two for two. Right. I've been in seven leagues this year, and it was a mistake being in that many. The NNA league, my work league, was my worst one. I am 4-8. Not my worst one. My second worst one.
Because you're like a 10th seed in that league or some crazy shit.
Yeah. And I had Mahomes, and it's just, you know, a lot of my leagues, I went heavy on Debo and Mostert. And that really hurt me. It really hurt me because there's not a lot of depth around these fantasy leagues. So it was like weird because bad mashups. I was projected to score a lot of points in a lot of my leagues, and I just didn't. You know, it is what it is. I have an ESPN league. I'm 6-6, but I was just told that no matter what I do, I cannot make the playoffs. So that's fantastic.
Damn. Fucking lovely. Awesome news.
I love it. If I win, it doesn't matter because the guys I'm tied with, I've lost to in head to head. So that's always lovely to hear. And my own league that I'm commissioner of for like 12, 14 years, this is my worst year I've ever had. I'm 3-9, it's just been a terrible.
Is that the one I joined?
That's the one you joined. That's the one where, let me just recap this because I want the audience to understand how terrible of a manager I was in this league. My first picks were Joe Mixon and Odell.
Oh, fuck.
So, yeah. And I also had Mostert, Kittle, and Debo. So all of those dudes that were out. I also had Jimmy G on the team for a little bit. He's been out. So at this moment, I also had Kareem Hunt. He was out. So it has just been a bad mix of injuries and where my opponent has just had the best week of their life. Like, oh, okay. Well, your team wants to go off. Fantastic. So that it's been that. In the other sleeper leagues that I'm in, it's been okay. There's a league that I've joined with a bunch of dads. I think my friend joined me in. I'm 6-6. If I win, I might make the playoffs. Kind of excited there. In Stewart's league that you and I are in, Eric, I have one of the better teams in that league. I'm very excited about this. Me and Stewart are actually, I'm in third place. I'm 8-4. This is the league I went heavy on Chiefs, which is always good to do, apparently. I went Mahomes and Kelsey, and I'm 8-4 in this league. I'm playing Stewart this week, who's also 8-4 and ahead of me in the rankings. And boy, oh boy, I would love to whoop his ass because he has Josh Allen. And I would love nothing more than for Josh Allen to have one of the worst performances of the season against me, where Mahomes is playing the fucking Broncos. And you know he's going to have a fucking amazing game against the Broncos. Because Mahomes only has like one interception the entire season.
And you have a chance to, I think if you win, to be at least
number one seed. Yeah, I think
maybe. Yeah, one and two, but I'm saying, yeah. And look, that's bye week, right? Even if it's a one or two, so that's what I'm fighting because I dropped all the way down to I think 5 or 4 or whatever. And now look, I went in our league. That's how close it is at the top because I was the one seed for a while because I was undefeated, and then I dropped from 1 to 6. Like that's how quickly it went. And
when you're 4 right now, Kush Kong, yeah, right? That's you. Yeah, you're 4. So me and Stuart are all 8-4.
Chizza. But you guys all had a higher points than me, and I think the head to head. Well, I beat you head to head, didn't I?
I think Chizza has the most points in the league by 4 points, and now we're talking fantasy league, which nobody wants to hear. But
no one gives a shit about it. But gives a shit about
our fans. Well, we do. I mean, we have 25 listeners some episodes, so maybe those 25 are all in this league. So they're all like, "Hey, fuck."
Well, and to all those 25 listeners, I know it was more on us this year, but next year. We're definitely gonna have next.
We're getting 28 listeners for sure.
Yeah, no, we need the after hours sports fantasy league that we keep saying.
We're gonna make it happen. You know,
it's gonna be a lot sweeter when these fools that we're talking about serving up on these games are actually people that are listening. So you know what I mean?
It's exactly. A lot more people will be these you know reviews of these fantasy games will make a lot more. So. I'm excited. I need the Mahomes train to continue. I'm very excited that Debo's back. I also have Fournette and Jones both on bye, like Mike said, both those teams are on bye. So should be fun. We got a good ending. At least one league. At least I got one team that is decent. And even though we haven't done the FanDuel in a minute, you know, I've won some decent money in FanDuel this year. I think I've won like $40 or $50 in FanDuel. Nice. With only betting like a couple, you know, like I think our entry is like what, like $2? Like so
right.
I mean, you know, and we only did it like 6 weeks, 7 weeks. So that's not bad, you know. So next season we are going to promote that and push it, and hopefully we can get more people in it, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Definitely.
Yep.
But having said that, our fantasy leagues, this has been one of the worst fantasy leagues I've ever had. This is not recommended to have a fantasy season in the middle of a pandemic, but kudos so, to the NFL for getting it done. Good shit.
Brandon, all you got to do is what all the other loser teams are doing. Just say, it's a COVID season. There's an asterisk. It didn't really matter. That didn't count.
Well, no, because it doesn't take away from me drafting Mixon in the first round and Odell in the second. So as soon as I don't repeat, I should not do that again. I literally went back-to-back years drafting Odell in the second round. Like, I was just like, I was so high on Odell. Like, I don't know why, but I think – next season, I'm going to lick myself with a mirror. You know that meme, like, why are you like this? You know, like, that's me, like, with Odell. So I think I've had that realization.
Or Mixon.
No, definitely Mixon, too, for sure. I'm done with Mixon. I'm done with both those dudes. But you're never going to get me away from Debo or Kittle. Ever, 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 ever. Never, ever, ever. Those fools are fucking – you can never get me away from Debo. He's so dope. But
especially Odell, because I disagree with you, Odell. Odell was the injury wise, and I'm gonna be Odell all
day. I love Odell, he's so dope. Eric, stop. I'm already talking, I talked myself out of it. I'm done.
He's gonna be a Niner next season.
Well, that's what I was hoping this year, but unfortunately,
the injury COVID just made that easier.
COVID, the asterisk, you know how it is. I think it's going to do it for us. I think that was a very solid pod. I'm very biased, but that's what this podcast is all about. Biased thoughts, because it's our podcast. I want to thank everybody for giving us the time of day, who've been rocking with us since day one. We've been doing this for almost 5 years now. It's going to be, you know, 2021 very soon. I hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope everybody had a safe Thanksgiving. If you saw your family, no judgment.
Fuck
here.
You.
Hey, you piece of shit. No, no judgment here. It's important to take care of your mental health. And if seeing your family is going to improve your lifestyle, then do it. Just make sure you are safe. If you risk yourself, if you feel unsafe, go get tested. It's so easy to do. We are literally talking about that before we started recording. We're, you know, just take advantage of it. Even if you think it's a fucking hoax, go get fucking tested for this hoax, you know, whatever. And you can prove like, hey, I'm negative for the hoax. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, we're just trying to promote everybody being safe and healthy. And, you know, I think that's how we can move forward and get back to some normalcy. Ideally we can, we would be linking up together, maybe a living room or whatever. Catching energy in person, but until then we'll be on Zoom, and just stay safe, you know. And to you guys, like, I definitely miss the energy recording with you guys in person, but maybe in 2021 will be our magic year.
Sir, stay safe. Yep,
absolutely. It's been a pleasure, gentlemen. Have a wonderful evening, and we'll catch you guys on the flip side. Go motherfucking Lakers, and good luck to your fantasy teams. Later.
And Niners.
Later. And Niners.
Later.